reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 27th verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Got some prayer requests for you tonight. I hope you'll remember to pray for Gene and I as we go to the prison of Fifth. We have two services there, and these are the ones that are going to serve a long time in prison, so they're the tough ones. So pray that God will give me a message of love and a message that will turn those men to Christ. And you know, I always pray, Lord, your blessed Holy Spirit we need in your meeting, because without you, we can do nothing. So you pray for those servants, then he'll be saved. And then I want you to pray for, we finally got a date for my operation, which will be the 7th of September. We have the service of Fifth at the prison, and operation is 7th, so I'll have many more people to pray for. Hold me up in prayer and pray there'll be no infection. And so I'll get back on my feet and get out here and hustle and win souls. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of ice tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's begin reading with the 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We label this the most valuable men in town. Well, the priest and their evaluation of Peter and John, they called them ignorant and unlearned. They would do more to change the world than all in Jerusalem. 13 men who changed the world. One doctor, one intellectual, and the rest unlettered. Look at a map of the world and see the impact of their lives. You know, friends, I try not to blow my own horn because it's not good business for a preacher to blow their own horn. But my wife was going through some papers the other day, and she found a letter that was written to me 13 years ago. And I'm telling you, I got so touched. Oh, my stars. And he told us what the quartet night meant to them in prison and all these other things. Well, friends, listen, that does something for me. Now, I don't know where you stand tonight with the Lord. And if you're a Christian, have you ever evaluated your life and said, I wonder what kind of an influence I am? Now, I'll tell you something else. I go to this health food store up there to buy my groceries. And everybody, and that's a huge store, and everybody there knows me. That's true. I get on that little electric scooter because I can't walk. And I go in there through that prison, through that grocery store, and they'll holler at me. They call me by my last name, said, hey, Mo, how's things going? And I always tell them, well, I haven't taken inventory yet, but I better do it now. But anyway, I love those people. I get to witness to them. I share the Lord with them. And one time I told you that I was there, and I was checking out, And this bag boy, it wasn't a boy, it was a man. I don't know, I started witnessing to him. And so we went out, because I had to take the scooter out to the car, and so he followed me out to bring the scooter back. And he said, you know, you told me that you're a preacher and a prison chaplain. I said, yeah. Well, he said, you know, I'm a Christian. And he said, I'm praying now that the Lord will show me what he wants for my life. He was a preacher, too, by the way. And so right out there in the parking lot, I said, let's pray. So we prayed together. Well, the other day I was up there again, and he said, today is my last day. I've got a church now. And how we prayed together, we rejoiced. You see, friends, you don't have to run around with a sign on your forehead, I am a Christian. But I'll tell you one, if you are a Christian, you should shine. Your little light should shine. People should say, now there's a man or there's a woman who knows Jesus. That's what I want for my life. I'm not looking for praise and glory of man. I want to please the Lord. I want to win souls. And my morning prayer is, Lord, give me holy boldness. Fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and give me souls for my hire. Oh, friends, if you'd pray that prayer every day and mean it, I'll guarantee you, God will put people in your way. Well, these men were not unlearned and ignorant about the Savior. Verse 10, it says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Oh, listen. People just can't deny it. If something great like that happens, they can't deny there's something to it. But to see they had been with Jesus. Friends, you can't be with Jesus without having a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of attitude. We ought to have a skip in our step, a song in our heart. Just like when I pray every day for this operation, I always pray, Lord, make us a walk through the park. Oh, when I had my cancer operation 2 years ago, I told you I was frightened. Yes, I was. But you know, the morning I went into surgery, I had peace of mind. I knew I was in the hands of Jesus. I prayed that the doctors would know what to do and how to do it. Friends, I believe in doctors, but boy, born everything, I believe in the healing power of Jesus. The world needs people who have been with Jesus. And friends, again, I say, you don't have to put Christian label on across your forehead. People can see it. Why? Because there's love in your heart. You're generous. You're a giving people. Christians should be the most generous, giving people in the world. You say, well, boy, howdy, you don't know how poor I am. Well, you don't know how poor I am. But I still give because God commanded that we are to share with the poor and the needy. Many know about science, but few know the Savior. You know, many know about mathematics, but few know about the Master. Many know about space, but few know about grace. I know a man, he's a investor, he's a con man, out-and-out con man. He's conned people out of meds. He's still not in prison yet, but he will be soon. And he told the people that he was out taking care of the mistakes that Jesus made while he was on earth. Do you know what? Many times I've heard people say, well, you know, you can't prove to me there's a God. I said, you can't prove to me that there isn't. And the reason I don't have to prove it, because he changed my life. One day I'm a no-good drunk, and the next day I'm out witnessing, well, the same day I'm out witnessing for Jesus, because I knew he'd made me a new creature. Many know about politics, but few know about God's plan. Remember that song that Winnie wrote, God has a plan. You know, beloved, he has a plan for your life. Now, I know you say, oh, Cecil, I'm a nobody. I don't have much of an education. Well, neither did Peter and John. They sure didn't. But my stars in the morning, how they grew in the Lord. They walked with him all these years up until he was crucified. Well, I tell you, many know about philosophy or psychology, but few know the one who solves all the problems. You say, Cecil, I got a problem tonight. Take it to Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Let's get this straight. If you don't know him, you're going to have a hard time talking to him because you don't know him. See, when Jesus comes into our heart, he immediately removes the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. He changes our mind. Now, you know, again, people are always trying to disprove the Bible. And I told you about these two attorneys years ago decided they was going to expose the fallacy of the Word of God. And they studied and they studied, and both of them repented of their sins and come to Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit revealed to them that they were foolish men. Now, we have the mystery of the priest. The educational background of these fishermen, they didn't have any. But you know what? Hey, you hear this, you've got to go to college to get a good job and make good money. My dear friends, my brother had a sophomore high school education. He died a millionaire. I just had high school and business college and a Bible college. And I did a business, and I do nothing about. I didn't know anything about running a big business and having lots of men working for him, but I did. But God did it for me. I didn't do it. He did it for me. See, all the things that's ever happened in your life and my life, if you're a Christian, we have to say it's because of Jesus. Not because we're smart. God, remember, he chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Well, some of these men were public speakers and theologians. What God will do with one who is completely surrendered to him. Now, they were not learned and ignorant about the scriptures, and we read in verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Well, the knowledge explosion. Oh, friends, sadly, our increased knowledge has but deepened our dilemma. These men did not know books, but they knew the book. Lincoln, he said, better to know a knowledge of the Bible than other books. Their knowledge of the Bible equipped them to serve. Friends, learn all you can. I hope you learn the scriptures as much as you can. It's so important. I've said this a million, jillion times, and you've heard me say it. If you're born again and you know it, and you know John 3:16, you can lead souls to Christ. You sure can. You know, the morning I was saved, that was the thing that Tom was telling me, what the Bible said about Nicodemus and being born again, and I didn't understand. Of course, Nicodemus at first didn't either. And then he read John 3:16. I said, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. My mama, before she died, she used to sit on the Davenport with my sis on one side and me on their side with a big old family Bible, and she'd tell us Bible stories. We lived so far in the country, we didn't have churches in those days. But that one, God so loved the world. I said, preacher, my mom used to read that. What does it mean? And he said, well, I'll paraphrase it. I didn't even know what paraphrase meant. He said, for God so loved Cecil Mole that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I said, "Preacher, is that true?" He said, "It most assuredly is." Without any more beckoning or pleading, I fell on my knees, and I cried out, "Oh, God, if you're up there, here's my heart. Here's my life, lock, stock, and barrel." And I meant it. Oh, the peace that came into my heart. And friends, I'm ashamed to say it, but I was drunk when I went to that preacher's house. But I come out of there cold, sober, and saved and sane. See, most universities in America are founded to teach the Bible. Well, man foolishly gets too wise for God's book. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. See, they think they know more than God. And you know what? People are always doing things to disprove that the Lord is real. And the more they do it, the dumber they look. Well, you know, in the second psalm it says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." These men had a knowledge of the Old Testament, and their knowledge of the Bible let them know what was happening. They were not unlearned and ignorant about salvation. Verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I had a fellow tell me one time, "Well, Cecil, you have one way into heaven, but I have another way." He was a law keeper, by the way. "And nobody is justified by the keeping of the law. We're under grace, unmerited love. I do not deserve salvation. You do not deserve salvation. We deserve the pits of hell. But because of God's great love, that Christ went to the cross at Calvary. Now he was sinless, and yet he took the sins of the world upon him and gave his precious life that you and I might live forever. Now, you don't want to serve that kind of a God? Well, I feel so sorry for you." Salvation, the importance of the word. Well, to Noah, the ark meant salvation while others perished. Can you imagine God telling Noah to build that ark out there in the desert where there was never been any rain? And he worked for 100 years, him and his sons, and he preached every day. People laughed at him, said, "Why, he's nutting a fruitcake out there in a dumb old trying to build something that floats. We never even saw a boat." Well, beloved, he wasn't as stupid as you think. Lord said one day, "Well, Noah, you've done a good job. Now load up your animals 2 by 2, and let's get this thing underway." Those people saw that ark float away, and their salvation went with it. The Bible says that God Almighty closed the door. Friend, tonight is the door swinging shut on your salvation. You know, you can sin away your day of grace. Oh, yes, you can. I don't suggest you do it. See, to Israel, the Red Sea, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." People are trapped by problems and perplexed. These men could tell people how to get rid of their sins. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm telling you how you can get rid of your sins, how you can have eternal life and go to heaven. You can be the most valuable person in your area, in your church. You can be as valuable as your preacher if you want to. If you surrender your life, he'll give you a ministry. Sure he will. He tells us, commands us to witness and be soul winners. But you know what you got to do, beloved? The need is great. Give your life to Christ for his service. Take time to be with Jesus. You know, in the morning, that's when it's a good time to get up and bow before the Lord and thank him for the good night's rest. And which reminds me, I had an awful good night's rest last night. Oh, my, yes. And I so thank him for that, because I don't sleep very well. But, boy, I sure did last night. You know why? Because of Jesus. Because people are praying for me. Because I'm praying for myself, too. Saturate your mind and heart with the Bible. Carry the message of salvation to others. Friends, God will use you to change the world as God used Tom Baird, Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, and on, men, great men of God, who believed in Jesus, whose life was transformed by the blood of Jesus. Beloved, I'd like to ask you tonight, where do you stand? You say, Cecil, I don't know. Well, listen, if the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart tonight, He's wanting you to come into Jesus. You say, well, I am a Christian. Are you backslidden? Are you doing sin all the time and expecting the blessing of the Lord? Don't do that. Here's what I want you to do tonight. If God is tugging at your heart right now, I want you to bow your head with me. And I want you to pray this most powerful prayer that ever could be heard. And it goes like this. Dear Lord, I confess. Oh God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Tonight, Lord, my troubled heart is broken, but I want to trust Jesus. And so, right now, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Only I'm concerned where you spend eternity. He's standing right now with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, friends, if you can't afford that phone call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I do thank you, friends, for listening. And, oh, I pray that I said something that would encourage your heart. I'm not here to make you mad. I'm here to have you fall in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that took this old drunk out of Skid Row and put his feet on a solid rock. Oh, how I thank my Savior for saving me. My wife and I was out to dinner the other night, and I said, I'm so glad, Gene, that God delivered me from alcohol. Well, if you hadn't, I'd be in hell today, I'll tell you for sure. Well, listen, friends, be sure and pray for my operation the 7th of September, and pray for our two prison services the 5th of September. It's 1 o'clock service, the 2 o'clock service. Pray that God will give us souls for our hire. And I'd like to stick around a few more years just to tell people about Jesus and be a holy terror to the devil. So until this time, next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.